Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaktadeshatane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Ajnati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha, Nama Shrishtam Nanama Pisha Chipitram Atrasurupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtapatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Ratika Mata Vasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Guru Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yataf Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavams cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam cha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning I'm going to speak, this may surprise you, about Ramcharitmanas. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Hari, Rama Bol, Rama Bol. It may surprise you because, well, usually we speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. You all know, does everyone know what Ramcharitmanas is? Who doesn't know? Anyone doesn't know? Where are you from? South Indians, they might not know. Anyway, I'll tell you about that. It might surprise you that I'm speaking on it because Srila Prabhupada didn't seem to have a very high opinion of it, which we probably shouldn't say. We shouldn't go around preaching that very much, probably, because it's a sensitive point. As many of you said, Hari Bol, in approval. It's been a tremendously influential text in the Hindi-speaking area, although it's not really in Hindi, it's in a Avadhi, which is what would be called a dialect of Hindi. I read a book which was written by a mundane scholar about the culture of the Ramcharitmanas. I was recommended to read that book by one of my godbrothers, Mukunda Datta Prabhu. He said he himself is from America but speaks good Hindi. He recommended me to read that. He said it would be useful to read for someone speaking in the, preaching in North India, which preaching in Hindi means among North India, because people who listen to religious lectures in Hindi, Hindi-speaking people, they all know the Ramcharitmanas very well. It's been the major cultural influence in the Hindi-speaking area for hundreds of years. It's the story of Rama, told by Goswami Tulsidas, as he's usually known, told in Hindi. Kind of Hindi. Yeah, it's been tremendously influential. That I saw the preface to an English edition of the Adhyatma Ramayana, which is another Sanskrit edition of the Ramayana. The real Ramayana is Valmiki Ramayana. Or that's accepted as the original source. And there's Kamba Ramayana in Tamil, and this Kriti Vasana is made in Bengali, although it's, from my experience of Bengal, it's not very well known in Bengali. There's an edition in Telugu. Who made that in Telugu? No one knows. So there are various regional editions. In Oriya, there's some edition. But the original edition, or the edition that Srila Prabhupada and the what we may call the orthodox sampradayas, Vaishnava sampradayas, they give credence to, is Valmiki Ramayana. Although Madhvacharya says that there's another Mool Ramayana, which Valmiki's edition is based on. Anyway, there's the edition in Hindi, which has been tremendous. Yeah, in the Adhyatma Ramayana, in a translation of that, a 19th century translation, I saw in the preface, the author was writing about the influence of the Ramayana, which in the Hindi speaking era, it's generally called Ramayana. The Ramcharitmanas, when they say Ramayana, they mean Ramcharitmanas. That TV Ramayana, which came out in, when was that, early 1980s? That was called Ramayana, but the script was based on the Ramcharitmanas, which is more or less the same as Valmiki Ramayana, but there are differences also. So yeah, in this preface to Adhyatma Ramayana, the author wrote that there's hardly anyone in the whole of North India who doesn't practically know it all off by heart, because they've heard it so many times. And even though most of the people at that time were illiterate, hardly 3% of the people were literate, according to the census, some census made by the British in the 19th century. In the United Provinces, which later became more or less Uttar Pradesh, UP became UP. Then like 3% literacy, but everyone knew. And in ordinary speech, like the Proverbs, people would quote from Ramayana, because they just heard. It was the daily religious activity of most people was to hear the recitation. When you hear it enough, then you get to know it. Right? And this study, which was made by this mundane scholar, was done in the 1980s in Varanasi, which is a major center of Manas, as it's called for short, recitation. It's said that Tulsidas wrote the Manasa there in Varanasi. So he recalled, this scholar said that there are several, during 1 month, or a month or so in particular, there are various dramas of Ram Leela which go on throughout the city. And there's one, in one place, there's the Ram Bharat Milap, where Ram and Bharat meet again after so many years. And for this 4 minute scene, it's just, the whole drama takes place in 4 minutes of Ram meeting. Ram's at one side with Lakshman, and Bharat's at the other side with Shatrughna. And Ram walks and then slowly runs, and they embrace, and that's it. It's finished. 4 minutes, it's all over. 5 lakhs people turn out for this. Even though the city's population at that time was barely 10 lakhs. And it has, there's a, even though nothing's ever on time in India, and especially in Varanasi, they've prided themselves on being not too busy. Times have changed. But that had to be done exactly at the Muhurta, exactly to time. So that just gives some idea of the popularity and the influence of this Ram Charitamanas. Now, Prabhupada, he didn't seem to have that much of an opinion of it. He wrote that, "I haven't seen that anyone has come to the spiritual platform by reading that." I'll get round and discuss this in the course of time. And when Jayaprataka Maharaj wrote this, you can find in the letters book, someone could put some oil on that door, if you guys may, be a good idea, wouldn't it? It's going to be opened and closed again and again. A little oil, believe it or not, will stop the squeaking. All right, well, that's another solution. Now, Jayaprataka Maharaj wrote to Prabhupada and suggested that a Gaudiya commentary be made on the Ramcharitmanas because he saw how popular it was. And Prabhupada said, "There's no need. We have our own books. What do we need that book for? We don't need to make any commentary on that." Srila Prabhupada sometimes quoted, rarely. There's one famous or infamous line from Ramcharitmanas that Prabhupada, I think once we have a record of him quoted, I don't remember it exactly, it's something like Dhol Chandan Shudra Nari Sab Ke Shashan Adhikari, something like that. Means that a drum, chandan, shudras and women are all fit for beating, something like that. Although if the word used is shashan, it is anyway, I'm not going to discuss that. That's a controversial point. There was another time Prabhupada in America, he was asked to speak and he, from Ramcharitmanas it seems, that, and he quoted some beautiful Sanskrit verse and describing the form of Lord Ram. Oil would be a good idea. Get a little, you're cooking with oil. Spare a little for the door. And Prabhupada said at that time that Tulsidas, he has spoken the pastimes of Lord Ram in his own way. In his own way. That, you know, in his own way means it's not exactly according to Valmiki. The basic story is that Tulsidas himself in the Ramcharitmanas, I haven't read the Ramcharitmanas in Hindi or in English, but just what I picked up from this book, he at the beginning wrote that, "Well, I heard this as a child." Well, he gave the parampara that he said that first of all Shiva spoke this to Parvati, who then spoke this, the next in line was a crow, Bhushundi Kaka, who is a, Parvati saw that this is a great devotee, and then the crow spoke to Garuda, who spoke to Yajnavalkya, to Bharadvaj, and then Tulsidas said, "I heard this in my childhood from my guru, I didn't take it very seriously, but I heard it a few times, and then later I understood the importance, and I've written it in my own words as best I can." So he claims it to have originated from Shiva. So undoubtedly, it's an inspired work. It's given an idea of Rama Bhakti to literally millions of people for generations and been very strong in influencing people toward bhakti. Exactly what kind of bhakti, I'll talk about that a little later. But it's been a very have the idea to sit down and write something so extensive about Lord Rama. Definitely, there's some inspiration coming there. I mean, there are so many poets, even in Sanskrit, who write pretty much mundane stuff. Kalidas writing about Shakuntala. It's from Shastra, but it's not on the point exactly of bhakti. It's more or less a mundane story. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked about Nala Maharaj, and Prabhupada said, we don't have anything to do with that. This famous story from Mahabharata of Nala and Damayanti. It's more or less a romance story. It teaches, of course there's teachings there, but there's nothing about Krishna consciousness, nothing about bhakti in there. So Prabhupada said, we don't have anything to do with that. So Ramcharitmanas is directly on the point of Lord Rama. Now about the scholar who wrote this book, he's from the University of California. He learned Hindi and spent a year in India with his family on a grant from the University of California also to do a study of this. And he's one of those scholars who would call themselves friends of India, appreciative of the culture, but they're nonsense, actually. And rascals also, for all their appreciation. Because their whole attitude is that they're coming in and they're studying all this. Then they spend a year and they mix up with all the people, with the performers, and with the hearers, and they speak with them, but it's all just, it's like they're studying from a psychological and sociological point of view. Like some scientists study butterflies or something like this. They don't really believe, they pretend they're enjoying it or something. And they do to some extent, and they appreciate it as something cultural. But they don't actually believe in it. And they just presume that these people are in Maya, although they wouldn't use that word themselves. They just study it just for the further and increasing the knowledge of the human race or whatever. And then he goes back and writes his whole study. And he just presumes that his way of thinking, which he's learned from the University of California, is better than all these people, because he can go and write about it as an anthropological phenomena. And the fact that all these people around him are, you know, blissed out hearing the Leela of Ram, for him is just a study of an object of psychological study. The fact that he could also partake in that bliss never occurred to him. For him, Ram is mythological. These people are all foolish because they believe it all. But he's a friend of Indian culture because he appreciates it. He wrote in one place in the book that, well, I have to report this just to complete my... He's writing about the effect of the hearing and hearing the recitation and seeing the performance, the effect on the audience. And I said, well, I have to write this because I'm also a member of the audience. That at one scene, I also felt my hair standing on end, and as if, well, I'm, you know, I have to admit it, I did become a little emotional myself also. The whole point of everyone's becoming emotional, but he's just a cold scholar who's studying it appreciatively. Extremely arrogant and foolish. And he didn't get the mercy of Lord Rama. I guess he did in some ways, but it's a very strange mentality of the mundane scholars. So yeah, about the popularity, one point I missed there. Srila Prabhupada said that the Gita Press is running on these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Ramcharitmanas. These are the two books which are widely published. And the scholar said that in the bookshops in Varanasi, the main selling book sells more than all the others put together is Ramcharitmanas. In all different shapes and sizes. There are many people who recite it daily. Or people just feel it's good to have in the home.
like that.
So it's despite all the other books, I don't know about now, that was 25 to 30 years ago, but things might have changed, but at that time still. I mean, even at that time, in the early 1980s, India was very different from the traditional India. And although Varanasi is it's a holy city, you could say, but it's also, apart from being a holy city, it's also a commercial and industrial, probably. I've only been there once, I think. It's a commercial center and an administrative center. It's a big city in its own right. He writes in that book about the speakers. They're mostly brahmanas who speak, who are what you could call professional reciters. And a few of them are very famous and well known, and there are many smaller ones, and there are others who just do it themselves for their own pleasure, you could say. There are all kinds of groups, from the big famous speakers to the people who just get together for their own pleasure and recite the Ramcharitmanas. And the father will bring his son, and then in the next generation, the son, when he's grown up, will bring his own son. And for generations, they go to the weekly meeting where they all sit and recite the Ramcharitmanas. And in the dramas, the people who play the roles, that would also go down family by family. So Hanuman, his son becomes Hanuman. They have a whole family tradition of Hanumans like this. And reciters are mostly brahmanas, and people expect them to be proper, that all the time they'll wear desi clothes. They won't dress in pants or anything like that. And they won't eat in restaurants. They should be somewhat paka. If you're going to be a reciter of Ramcharitmanas, you should be paka. Not that just when you come on to the seats that you're dressed like a Brahmin, but all the time you should be. And you should observe all the different rules. Shouldn't be very materialistic, all this, like that. There's one anecdote he recited, that on the local trains going into Delhi, there were some brahmanas playing cards, and someone admonished them. Why are you playing cards? You're brahmanas. You should be reciting scripture. And they took it seriously. And they started to, among themselves, on the commuters coming in every day for work, they started to recite the manas among themselves. And other people thought, this is, you know, it's better than playing cards, and they came and listened. And so then daily, what happened after some time, they had to have loudspeakers to all the different carriages because people wanted to listen to it. And not just from that, from all different directions, all the local trains, there are people reciting as they're coming in. You see in Bombay also, if you go on the suburban trains, you don't see, you can't see because it's so packed. But you can hear in the morning people coming in from Maharashtra, they're doing kirtan in the trains. It's a daily kirtan in the trains. So, in this way, India's culture is going on. Don't know how long, but the demons are working hard to destroy it, but still it's going on, somehow or other. That's interesting that the brahmanas were reciting it. Because when it first came out, when Tulsidas first recited it, the brahmanas were the ones who rejected it. Because they said that, well, it should Sanskrit, and only in Sanskrit. We can't have ordinary people in this ordinary lecha bhasha, Lecha Bhasha means languages other than Sanskrit, including Hindi. We can't have the Shastra means that it should be in Sanskrit, no other. So they were very much against this, and they put a copy of the Ramcharit as a test. They put Ramcharitmanas in the temple of Vishwanath, Lord Shiva, in Kashi, Varanasi. And on top of that, they put a pile of Sanskrit books. In the morning they came back, this is the story how it goes, and the Manas was on top, with Lord Shiva, I guess, must have written it, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, written on top. That's Sanskrit. So, that got the imprimatur of Lord Shiva. He said it's okay. So they accepted it, more or less. And nowadays the idea is that, well, only Brahmanas should recite it, because only they should recite scriptures, although others do also. So times are changing. And there was a time when they said any religious speech should only be in Sanskrit. And then gradually, okay, Hindi, but the Hindi should be Shuddha Hindi, with all Sanskrit words, not this mixed up with Urdu and English. Now the speeches are going on in English, and some people say that no, only Hindi. But before it used to be only Sanskrit. So you can see the times are changing. But anyway, the point is to convey the message in whatever language. Sanskrit certainly has, I mean, there are certain manners of expression in Sanskrit that are not possible to convey properly in English, and they're better conveyed in Indian vernaculars, which employ a lot of Sanskrit, and in English it's more difficult. Okay, now for some stories. Why is Ramcharitmanas so popular? It's all stories. Everyone likes stories. That's why in Kali Yuga, Mahabharata is recommended. Because stri, shudra, dvijabandhunam, traina vedagochara, the women, shudras, kalo shudra sambhavaha, in Kali Yuga, everyone's born a shudra. And the fallen members of the higher caste, they're not fit for studying the Vedas. Therefore, that's one reason, given for Vyasadeva, compiled Mahabharata, to have this, the message of the Vedas in stories. So, I'm going to tell some stories, not from Ramcharitmanas, but from the book that I read, which are embellishments to the, embellishments means alankara, to the original story. You're allowed to diverge and tell a few other things. And I'll also embellish a bit. Then I'll discuss about the stories a little bit afterward, because I'm not so much of a stories for stories sake type. this is the important point. I should make this before I get into the stories. Srila Prabhupada said that what he'd seen from the Ramcharitmanas, no one had come to the spiritual platform. What does the spiritual platform mean? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Nashochati Nakangshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Brahma Bhuta, the position of situation in transcendence. One becomes the Atma, the very being becomes blissful. Na shochati, na kangshati. One is free from material lamentation and desire. One becomes equal to all and attains the highest level of bhakti for Krishna, which includes, of course, Rama bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti, Narayana Bhakti. Now, in Ramcharitmanas. Actually, one devotee who's from a Brahmin from Varanasi, who's an ISKCON devotee.
He's the head pujari in ISKCON Baroda.
He told me that the
Ramanandis, or the devotees of Lord Rama in the Sampradaya coming from Ramananda, the followers of,
I guess you could say directly or indirectly, all the votaries of Ramcharit. No, that's not true. Anyway, they're all followers of Ramcharitmanas. There are so many sadhus, Ramanandi sadhu. They're devotees of Lord Rama. And they're real sadhus in the sense that they give up the world.
They're austere, fully devoted to spiritual culture. Of course, there are different levels of sadhus, as we see within any spiritual organization, within ISKCON. Some are more sadhus and some are less. Some might be dressed as sadhus but more materialistic. And so there are different levels. But we see mostly Ramanandis, they leave home and they're quite strict in their practices, and they're sadhus. Anyway, you know what sadhus are, I hope. So, this devotee, Seva Vilas Prabhu, told me, he said that the Ramanandis, they're very much attached to
Ram Katha, Ram Nam,
Ram Bhagavan.
But if you speak with them about philosophy, tattva, then they'll all say that Ram is a manifestation of the impersonal Brahma.
Where did they get that from?
From Ramcharitmanas. Oh, something wrong there. Something wrong. I'll talk about that a little later. How do I know that if I didn't read the Ramcharitmanas? Well, it's quoted in this book.
Where did it all come from?
Problem there. Anyway, stories. This story that I'm going to tell now is about baby Rama, or just little boy, very small boy.
This story is also told about, in similar stories told about Krishna as a young boy, just learning to talk. Just learning to talk, although Vaidaischa Sarveraham Eva Vedaha. All the Vedas are from him. He knows all the Vedas. Just learning to talk. And the same story is told about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So in connection with Ram, it goes like this, that in the evening, little baby Ram is playing and he sees the moon
and he calls out to his mother, "Give me the moon, I want to play with the moon. Give me the moon, I want to play with the moon." And she says, that's all right. No, give me the moon. Say, "Here, here's your bows and arrows. You play with your..." No, give me the moon. And he's insistent. So she crouches down and holds him and says, "My dear Ram, I can't give you the moon. I can't bring down the moon. Just play with your bows and arrows." And Ram steps back indignantly. I'll say in Hindi, it's better. I'll say, "Yadi tum sarva shresht, sarva shaktiman, param satyam, param brahma ko, param brahma upar se la sakti, to ek choto sa chand lane mein kya katina hai."
If you can bring down this all-powerful, best of all, supreme, absolute truth, supreme reality, then what's the problem to bring down one little moon?
So that's a nice story. Then another story is that Ram was a very good boy. He was not naughty.
Any mothers had children like that? I don't think. Ram is unique.
He's a very good boy. Never did anything wrong. But one time he was playing this, you know, the stick, twirling the stick. Young boys, I can't do it. The cowherd boys, they can do this. They can twirl the stick, so it goes round and round in one hand. So he was doing this indoors, very dangerous to do it indoors. And within the palace there was a huge chandelier, which was, you know, very... Dasharatha was very... He liked this. And there's a sign of a king. All the best things in the king's palace. Huge chandelier, way up on the roof. You know what's going to happen next, right? So, very expensive and not possible to make it again. Just perfect, beautiful. And anyway, you know the next line. Ram's playing and the stick gets out of control and goes right up and smashes the whole chandelier. So, anyway, in the meantime, one of the servants goes to the court where Dasharatha is sitting with Kausalya and says, Your Majesty, yes, what is it? Yes, tell me, what is it? The chandelier, yes, tell me. The chandelier, you know, the famous, yes, tell me. It's smashed to pieces. And Dasharatha said, who did it? Who did it? And the servant said, well, you see, actually, it was a little boy and he was playing with this stick and he accidentally, the stick went and it broke. Which boy? Who was it? And he said, actually, it was Rama. And Kausalya was, oh, no. What's it? And she said, please, you know, don't get angry. Please, don't get angry. You love Ram. Dasharatha stood up. He said, sound the trumpets. Hold the festival. My boy Ram, at least once in his life, he should do something naughty. So it's a nice story. There's a little problem with that, is that chandeliers, I mean, we don't find any description of them in the Vedic literature. So there might be a problem. Maybe, I don't know, you're some big pundits. I don't think. It seems to be more of a European thing. So it might be a made-up story. That's a problem. I'll get back to that later also. Okay, now more up-to-date story of Prayagdas. This is from the 19th century. Village boy. Who, he was just in a village boy, and other boys in the village, that festival where the elder sister, they feed the brothers with sweets. He didn't have any elder sister. So the other boys in the village were taunting him. See, you don't have any elder sister to feed you sweets. So he was feeling glum. And then his mother said, well, actually you do have an elder sister. Her name is Janaki, but she was married and left home before you were born. Because, you know, if that happens. The girl's 12, 13 years old and they're married and they're gone before. That happened with Ram also, right? Before he was born, his sister was married and gone off. What was her name? Anyone know? Shanta, that's right. Shanta. She was married to Rishi Ashringa. So he said, well, where is she? Oh, she lives in Ayodhya now. So he went off. Where's the way to Ayodhya? I have to find my sister. He came to Ayodhya and said, where's Janaki, my sister? If you thought he's crazy, what are you talking about, Janaki, your sister? Where's Janaki, my sister? She's married someone called Rama. And if you thought, this is crazy, boy, what is this? So he was wandering around the streets and at night, and disappointed, he lay down under a tree to sleep. And in the temple, Rama, he said to Janaki, "Hey, your brother, come, let's go. We better go and see him." So then this Prayag Das was lying under the tree asleep, and then he heard all this sound, and he woke up and saw there's this big retinue with all well-dressed people, and there's a palanquin. And someone comes and says, "Are you Prayag Das?" I said, "Yeah, I'm Prayag Das." "So, well, your sister Janaki came to see you. She's the queen here, and she's in the palanquin." And Prayag Das said, he wasn't very impressed. He said, "My sister came to see me? Well, where I come from, if the sister didn't see her brother from a long time, she falls down at his feet and bathes them in tears." So Raman's sitting in the palanquin with Janaki and says, "You better go." So she jumps down and bathes him in tears like this, falls down at his feet. Then another time, Prayag Das was listening to the story of the Ram Leela, and he heard that Ram and Janaki, they have to go to the forest. And with no shoes and no bed. And he thought, so he immediately ran out from the recitation and went to a carpenter's shop and went to a cobbler and said, "Make me two beds." And the cobbler makes some shoes, "Make them good and make them fast." And then he got them made, and then he ran, he put them on his head. He said, "Okay," he asked, "tell me, where's Chitrakoot? I have to go there to deliver things." So for him it was real. And that's the whole point, that people, they feel it as real, that Ram is real, Ram Leela is real. And the rest, the drama especially, that people feel it's, when they do the Ram Leela drama, they feel it's real, that the person, Ram, is manifest here. So that, like in the school, the teacher, If the boy has played the role of Rama, then there was one teacher, he would bow down every day in the class to the boy. Because in the drama, he plays the role of Rama. There's opposite to Varanasi, on the other side of the Ganga, there's a city, Ramnagar, where the king, he laid out the whole city, that this area is called, this area is Ayodhya, this area is Chitrakoot, this area is Dandakaranya, like this. So that, and they had the Ram Leela, and that in the middle of the drama, of course it goes on over many days, they have to move to the different locations. And the people, they come and see Ram, and they fan him, and like this. They take it very seriously. One time in the, during the, they call it Ram Leela, they don't call it Ram Natak. So one time, some of the actors, they're all from the same family. So there was a death in their family, which means they're ashoch, they're contaminated. They can't take part in, it's like going to a temple, you can't go to a temple, you can't take part in the drama. So it made a big mess up in the whole drama, because they had to induct some new people who weren't trained, and they couldn't fill all the parts. And someone said to the king, who's organizing the whole drama, he said, "Well, do you have to be so strict? I mean, why don't it's distant relative, right? So why don't you just let them do the acting anyway?" And the king said scornfully, "What do you think this is? Some drama, some natak? Because for everyone who takes it seriously, it's not a drama. It is Ram Leela, and you." You take part in it, and it's like you're there. It's not that you're watching a drama, but this is Rama, this is Kaushalya, we're there, everyone's there with Rama. That's the feeling, to bring that mood there, or that feeling. So is this not bhakti? Is it not bhakti?
Is there not a feeling there? Prabhupada said no one came to the spiritual platform.
I mean, there's definitely feeling, isn't there? If you people who they're talking, they're all their life they'll be reciting, and in their daily life they'll be singing songs of Rama. I mean, you can't say it's not bhakti.
But it's not the same as what Rupa Goswami spoke of, this anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama.
The uttama bhakti is that in which there is no personal desire whatsoever. The only desire is that everything should be for the pleasure of Krishna, understanding him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The bhakti means to identify oneself as the servant of Krishna. We are sevak. He is savior. He is the proper person to be, so proper object of service. And what is the purpose of service? The purpose of service is service. Just like when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what comes from chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, more chanting. What is the purpose of performing bhakti? For performing bhakti.
Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. From bhakti comes bhakti. The result of bhakti is bhakti.
Now, most people, if they're asked, why do they recite Ram, those who daily recite a portion, especially the Sundara Kanda is very famous,
they'll say for shanti.
Means that they're more or less, they're going on in material life, but you need something to cool you down a bit.
In all the rough, tough, hurly-burly of material life, it's tough, but anyway, we've got to enjoy it, but we need something to cool off a bit, so we'll get shanti from this. Or the sadhus, they become sadhus, and they're reciting Ram Nam.
I remember when I first came to Vrindavan in 1976, that we'd walk from this Fogal Ashram, where devotees would stay, to the Krishna Balaram temple. And practically all the way you'd hear, Sitaram, 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 Sitaram. There's an ashram. It's probably underneath a shopping mall now, or buried underneath some high-rise flats. But Ram Nam was going on, Ram Dhum. Constant Ram Nam. Tulsidas promoted that Ram Nam is more than Ram. He promoted Ram Nam. So people are chanting Ram Nam. But the sadhus, they have the idea that ultimately you have to merge into the impersonal. They don't have a very clear idea of what is bhakti. Why, even though they feel, they love Ram, they love Ram Charimandas, they love Ram Nam, they have a feeling from that. But they don't have any clear knowledge of who Rama is. There's rasa, there's bhava, there's lila, but not much discussion of tattva-gyan. Now we see that Srila Prabhupada, he mostly spoke on tattva-gyan. He didn't tell stories much. If he did, it was generally only briefly to promote or to demonstrate a philosophical point. Whereas the kathas, when Prabhupada said that, I didn't see anyone come to the spiritual platform, we also have so many Bhagavad kathas, Bhagavad saptaha, imitation, as Prabhupada said, of Shukadeva and Parikshit, where people listen but they don't come to the spiritual platform. They don't get the feeling or the understanding that we're supposed to surrender to Krishna. Or even if they might talk about it, they don't really know what it is. And they'll have
arranged by the businessmen who sponsor these functions. They'll arrange for everyone to get free chai prasad. So that in itself is a sign that people are not on the spiritual platform. They don't actually come to the spiritual platform. This author of this book, he also narrated an incident in which he was, it was the evening, he was anxious to get back home, and some pundit he'd been speaking with, he was speaking with some pundit, and then he wanted to go, the author wanted to go, and then some young boys came up to them, and one of them offered, please come and take chai. And the author said he didn't want to take chai, he was tired, it had been a long day, he wanted to get back home. He'd just taken chai. And he said, no, I don't want to take. And then the pundit who he was with said, no, you should take. You see, he's offering this. And he said, and even though the author knew his bad manners, said, no, I'm going. And then the pundit said to the author, don't you know who this boy is? Haven't you seen him before? And the author said, looked at him, said, looks kind of familiar, couldn't work it out. Then the pundit said, he's Ram. In the drama you've been watching for the last month, he's Ram. And he's offering you chai prasad. So then he had to take it. So, is this bhakti something resembling? But it's not anyabhilashita shunyam. Everything's there. The respect for Lord Ram, the culture, but the elements are there, but the proper understanding is not there. Which means that it becomes something like a decoration on a dead body. If the essence isn't there, if the real life of bhakti isn't there, then it's not the real thing. It may seem to be the real thing. Prabhupada said, I didn't see that anyone came to the spiritual platform. There's another anecdote that you see how the pundits, they're very expert in interpreting Shastra in various ways. How they'll go to these prestigious functions where rich businessmen will arrange some recitation of Ramcharitmanas and bring together all the top pundits, and they'll all go there. The pundits will go dressed very nicely with nicely ironed khadi, white cloth, maybe some gold buttons. I don't know. That wasn't mentioned. That's the businessmen they'll have there. That's for sure. So when the author asked one pundit, why, you see, you're dressing very nicely like this, he said, yeah, you see that. You see, at the Kiya Samudra Manthana, the churning of the milk ocean, Vishnu was dressed very nicely, and he got Lakshmi. And Shiva was dressed like a beggar, and he got the poison. So better to dress nicely. You see, they have their own way of interpreting. Very clever. Very clever interpretations. Also, it's mentioned how people, while the Ram Leela's going on, at that time it was considered quite acceptable for government employees to finish their work at midday, and then they could go over the Ganga to the Ramnagar, because it takes some time to go there. Of course, most government employees don't usually come till midday. So they'd leave at midday, and then they'd go over the Ganga. They'd take quite some time, and then they'd pass stool on the other side, because it's better to pass on that side rather than in Varanasi, which is a holy place. See, they're being very religious. They'd wash their cloth. Then they'd take a little bhang. Not very much, because it makes you too sleepy, because they want to see the Ram Leela. It's all part of the ritual. taking bhang, this, for those who don't know Hindi, that's cannabis, that's considered quite religious. That's okay, because Lord Shiva, they say, he takes it. So if he takes it, well, I guess we can take it too. So it's not in the line of Rupa Goswami. One devotee told me in Vrindavan, there's on the street, they're selling the kulfi on the street, Indian ice cream. And this one was bhang kulfi. But it was written in Hindi, so he didn't know. So he went to get a kulfi, and the person said, no, no, this is not for you. See, because Vaishnavas, they generally don't take it. Ramanandis, they may take it, but it's not for you. He knew that you're not supposed to take it. Others, they can take it. But you shouldn't take it. He was good enough to tell them, you shouldn't take this. So, yeah, it's not exactly in the line of Rupa Goswami. They don't have the clear understanding of who the Supreme Person. We're not against worship of Ram by any means. It's very good. Ram Bhakti is very good. But the proper understanding of who he is, even they'll say these words, Param Satya, Param Brahma, Sarvasreshta, Sarvaradhya, but what is the actual implication? According to Shastra, they won't know because they've got it all mixed up. They think that even though they'll call him Param Satya and Param Brahma, still they have the idea that he is a manifestation of the Param Satya, not that he is Param Satya. So even if you're discussing it with people, they might not be able to find the difference, because in their understanding, the two are so much merged together. They cannot understand the difference. And they say Rama and Shiva are the same, which you'll find throughout Shastra. You'll find even in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Mahabharata, from time to time, Shiva will say, Vishnu and I are the same. And sometimes Vishnu will say, Shiva and I are the same. But obviously there's difference also. But if you don't see the difference and understand the difference and understand how they are the same and how they are different, then we're going to have a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding means that the bhakti in the line of Rupa Goswami, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the ideal up to Padaratang Pinashtumam, he may trample me underfoot. Well, even they may say that. They don't generally... Well, no, we don't generally expect that in Ram Leela. And actually in Krishna Leela also it doesn't happen. That only actually happens with Kali and Shiva. That she tramples him underfoot. But we don't find that. It's, you know, what... John F. Kennedy, you may have heard the name of the... one of those American presidents who got shot dead. Anyway, before he got shot dead, some famous line, do not think what your country can do for you. Think what you can do for your country. So this is Desha Bhakti. This pure, unmotivated devotional service to your country. There's a fault in that also. But the idea that, don't think what Krishna can do for me. What should I do for Krishna? You may think, well, what can I do for Krishna? What can we do? He does everything for us. But that we can come to this, or Krishna is ready to accept that he will become our inferior. As Prabhupada often said, the impersonalists, they want to become one with God, but the devotees, they become better than God. Why do you want to become one with God? Nanda Maharaj, Krishna is bringing Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. That's better that's a better stage than being merged with the oneness, whatever that oneness might be conceived of. So they don't have a very clearer. They have a lot of understanding. I mean, they discuss it, they give interpretations, they write books, commentaries. But Prabhupada said, I didn't see anyone came to the spiritual platform. There, another story told in that book is that in the 19th, there's a samadhi on the other, on one side of the river. Varanasi is where the Varuna River and Asi River join at the Ganga. So one of the rivers there is Varuna. And on one side of the river for several generations, there's been a Ram Leela enacted. It means at a certain time of year. On the other side of the river, there's a samadhi for the actor in the drama who was Hanuman. And how it came to be on the other side of the river is like this, that in the drama, Hanuman was strutting around, getting ready, you know, to do his wonderful feats. And one Britisher was there, one British officer, and he taunted Hanuman. Said, you see, you think you're Hanuman, and everyone's respecting you like Hanuman. But you see, the real Hanuman, the British, many of them, they actually learned about the... I mean, if you spend a long time, you learn... It'd be difficult not to live in North India, especially at that time, and not know who Hanuman is. He said, you see, this Hanuman, he jumped over the ocean, but you can't even jump over this little river. So he was joking like that. Then this Hanuman took it as a challenge. The river is about 80 feet wide. That's about what? 25 meters? Which is a small river in India. It's bigger than the River Thames, probably. So he took it as a challenge. See, if I'm Hanuman, and Hanuman should... And then he got ready and he jumped over the river. And when he landed, he died. And his samadhi's on the other side. That's how his samadhi came to be. And his sons, they, in disciplic succession, they're still taking the part of Hanuman. I don't think any of them try to jump. But they'll, before starting the drama, they'll do puja. Now, why did he die? The different explanations are given. It wasn't from exertion, because by human exertion, no one can jump that far, right? No one can jump over an 80, 90 foot river. So it wasn't from the exertion. He must have been inspired by Hanuman to do that. Now, the two versions are given. One version is that, well, before he jumped, Hanuman told him not to look back, but he looked back. So he died when he landed. And the other version is when he landed, he thought, I did it. And because of that pride, he died. So I wasn't very satisfied with either of these explanations. In our line, we'd give a devotional explanation. Neither of these are devotional explanations. It may be that he was feeling so much the spirit of Hanuman that he thought that now there's no use in me going back to material life, so let me just leave the world now and go to serve Hanuman. That would be a devotional explanation. Or he may have thought that now people are going to worship me, but actually the worship should be for Hanuman himself. I mean, you could find devotional explanations, but somehow devotional explanations that are in the line of bhakti taught by Rupa Goswami, but somehow they didn't get that. They gave some material motivation to the person. They didn't find a devotional explanation. So, that's why we don't recite Ramcharitmanas. Why we distribute and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. We have respect for all the saints, all the real saints. We can respect Tulsidas. We should know who's who. We have our Sampradaya Acharya. Some people say that Prabhupada is the Sampradaya Acharya. This is incorrect. Prabhupada is not the Sampradaya Acharya. He is an exception or the fulfillment of all the Sampradaya Acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But he's not the Sampradaya Acharya. The Sampradaya Acharya is Rupa Goswami. We're Rupanugas. That's the proper term. Or all the Acharyas are Sampradaya Acharyas. If they're actually teaching according to the Sampradaya. So there are gradations. Tulsidas, we can certainly respect him, bow down to him for his insights and his feelings for Lord Ram, which he's contributed to the devotional life of North India. Even there are some like Ramana Maharshi, he's a complete impersonalist, but we can respect him as a sadhu. The Shankaracharyas of Puri, Dwarka, actually Dwarka and Badrinath are joined together now. The Shankar and the Kanchi, the present Kanchi, Shankara is not, people say he's not up to the same level as the previous one, but the fact that they are sadhus and they uphold, they follow the principles of Vedic life, they study Shastra, so we can respect them. There are levels of respect. We don't respect the Shankaracharyas at the same level of Rupa Goswami as Prabhupada, but we can respect them. And Vivekananda we don't respect at all. We know nothing even approaching. So we should know what's what and who's who. So we will respect Tulsidas. But we recite Srimad Bhagavatam as given by Vyasadev, Nigamakalpatar or Galitam Palam. Shukamakad Amritam Dravasamyutam. Vyasadev gave it to Shukadev. He got it back from Shukadev. Gave it to us. And that's been given in Parampara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the Srimad Bhagavatam, which wasn't really known in its fullness. All the Gaudiya Acharyas, they commented on that. Other Sampradaya Acharyas also commented. And Prabhupada gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada said that by reading my books, one gets in touch with all the Acharyas. So we distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. Whatever bhav or bhakti, this tradition which has been going on throughout India in various traditions and sampradayas, some are pure sampradayas, some are somewhat mixed. Whatever's been going on, the essence of all of that, Srila Prabhupada has given us. In his books, I consider it my great fortune to, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I've spent most of this life. My life began in 1975, and then in 1977 I came to India to stay. I visited in 1976, so most of this life I've spent in this land, and I've met many sadhus, and I've visited many holy places. And I've had the opportunity to have some acquaintance with the great culture of Vedic culture, of which bhakti is definitely the life. And this acquaintance and visiting holy places, seeing holy people, becoming acquainted not just through books but firsthand with this culture has increased my appreciation for what Srila Prabhupada has given us, and that Srila Prabhupada really did give us the essence, which even many people who are in many ways great devotees of Krishna and Rama, they may not be so fortunate as we are to have Krishna bhakti given in its completely pure form, without any touches of impersonalism or personal desires. The really real thing Srila Prabhupada has given us, and it's that pure devotional service without any personal desire that is the meaning of bhakti, the life of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we can appreciate that more by actually everything we see and everything we study should increase our appreciation for Krishna, for Prabhupada, for Prabhupada's books, as we realize, we see that without that, everything is useless, empty, meaningless. That much that there is bhakti, pure bhakti, that much that it's present, there's meaning. Otherwise, everything is empty, meaningless. Bhagavad bhakti hinasya. Jati shastra japastapa apranasyaiva dehasya mandanam lokaranjanam. That however religious one may be, or born in a high family, or whatever it may be, unless there's the real life of Bhagavad bhakti, then it's just like the decoration on a dead body. So this we learn from Prabhupada. We didn't, those of us coming from the Western countries, we didn't convert from Christianity to Hinduism, as some people think. We didn't convert from one materialistic religion to another materialistic religion. It's not that we stopped praying to Jesus for daily bread and all this kind of thing, and instead started praying to Krishna for daily bread, or Ganesh. But rather Prabhupada taught us the process by which, if we follow, we can come to the level of feeding Krishna his daily bread. Or as Prabhupada once said, my only desire is to go to Golok Vrindavan and steal Krishna's lunchbox. Prabhupada's plotting. You get a few cowherd boys together and make a plot how to steal Krishna's lunchbox. So this is what Prabhupada introduced us to. I was asked to speak about Prabhupada's books as the marathon is going on. Actually, the marathon, for those who are full-time book distributors, who do it every day, all day, throughout the year, the marathon, it's always the marathon. So if you like, you can go on. You don't have to stop. Book distributions, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is not something that's meant for December. Or maybe with a little extension into January. You can go on. And on. And on. And if you distribute these books throughout your life, as Prabhupada said, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we're out distributing your books and we meet so many materialistic people. And by meeting so many materialistic people, how are we going to remember Krishna at the time of death? Prabhupada said that if you go on distributing these books throughout your life, then at the time of death, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and take you back to Godhead. So you can say Hari Bol and you can distribute books, that's even better. And then you don't have to worry about it. Will I go back to Godhead? Another time, the devotee asked Prabhupada, are we going to go back to God? Prabhupada said, look, we're working all our lives to help others to get back to Godhead, so won't we go? Everyone else is going to go and Krishna's going to leave us behind? So this is the best process. Yagyai. What is that? Yagya Sankirtan. Yajanti he sumedha. Intelligent people worship Krishna by preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said there is no better method of preaching Krishna consciousness than to distribute my books. So you can do it. Read them also and live by them. Srila Prabhupada said that
Srimad Bhagavatam should be our life. So that means read Bhagavatam, hear Bhagavatam, speak Bhagavatam, live Bhagavatam. Be absorbed in Bhagavatam. Distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Or comment? Yes.
Nishatsundarma is saying that if it is not according to Vedanta, it's sentiment, not bhakti. They don't know the tattva. That's basically what you were just saying. They don't. It's not according to Vedanta. Even Krishna in Gita says according to Brahma Sutras. Mm. It has to be according to Vedanta, or it just becomes sentimentality.
Yeah, yeah.
Religion without philosophy is sentiment. Is what you just totally described. Sentimentality.
Yeah, now you have to pass the mic all the way up to the front again. Alright, you got stopped on the way.
Hare Krishna Guru. Sorry, Hare Krishna Maharaj. I belong to northern part of India and I have read several places that Goswami Tulsidas, who wrote the commentary of Ramcharitmanas.
He wrote Ramcharitmanas.
He wrote Ramcharitmanas.
Not the commentary.
Is said to be incarnation of Vedvyas in this Kali Yuga.
Yeah, that's said about him. He's just with the. Yeah, go on.
So, but as, because we see that Ramcharitmanas is not the proper explanation or commentary, whatever you can say, on Ramayana or the life of Lord Sri Ramchandra, then he cannot be the incarnation of Vedvyasa. So, is there any incarnation of Vedvyasa in this Kali Yuga, or there is not? Or if it is, then who is this incarnation of Vedvyasa?
Well, Vyasa is said to be the. Yeah, he's said to be Vyasa. Come again. And actually, any. In North India also, any speaker who speaks is said, sometimes they call him the Vyas, isn't it? In the Bhagavat Kathas also, you'll see the posters. In Govardhan, there's always like a dozen posters. They'll say Vyas. Instead of saying Vakta or Pravakta or speaker, they'll write Vyas. Because anyone who speaks the message of Vyas, just like the actor Hanuman becomes identified as Hanuman, so and you're sitting on the Vyasa Asan, so you're supposed to represent Vyas and be as good as Vyas, or in that sense be non-different from Vyas. So by avish or absorption, I guess, the personality, one becomes, it's as if it should be, if one is actually representing Vyasa, that the personality of Vyasa enters that person and he becomes as if Vyasa. So, he's said to be, I mean, of course, some people represent more than others, you can say. How much do they manifest Vyasa? So, definitely, Tulsidas, he manifested the personality of Vyas through Ramcharitmanas to literally millions of people. But from Vyas, he gave the Vedas, and Veda is Nigamakalpa Taru. It's a desire tree. So different people get different things. So what Tulsidas got from Vyas and what he represented to others is not the same as what Rupa Goswami got.
Vyasa gives everything. Vedas gives everything. Veda means knowledge, all kinds of knowledge. Different people get different things. Different people read Shastra, they read Bhagavad Gita, and some find, they find that, well, you should just do your work in this world. Do work. Work like an ass. This Tilak, he has, Bal Gangadhar Tilak has given his commentary. Karma, you should just do. And many they find jnana, you should become absorbed in the oneness. And devotees, they find Krishna. And some people even find Krishna with a flute in Vrindavan, in Bhagavad Gita. So Vyas gave everything, and a large part of Vyasa's message, actually, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is concerned with the material. Or at least superficially. Yamimam pushpitam va cham pravadanti avipaschita. It seems that the message of the Vedas is worldly enjoyment. But those who think like that, Krishna says, they don't really know what they're talking about. So there's Tulsidas is a special person, there's no doubt. I mean, it's not that everyone can just sit down and write something on that level, and it's been so influential. There's a story, one of those stories you hear, that at the time where there was so much opposition to Tulsidas, because it was thought that he was being against the Vedas by composing this, and some people came to attack his residence to kill him at night, but they couldn't get close because it was guarded by one big, strong kshatriya with his bows and his younger brother. So, Ram and Lakshman. These stories are told. So, he may represent Vyas in a certain way. And you see, there are different perspectives. It's just like Prabhupada said that in India, everyone's a devotee. He also said everyone's a Mayavadi. So you can't be a devotee and a Mayavadi. But it's, or sometimes Prabhupada said that all my disciples are pure devotees. And you think, well, it doesn't look like that. But inasmuch as one is strictly following and trying to be a devotee, that can also be called a pure devotee. That's also bhakti. But then really bhakti means to fully surrender to Krishna. So sometimes the words are used, and the same term is used in different levels. When we say bhakti, generally we mean this Rupa Nuga Bhakti or Jiva Nuga Bhakti, following the conclusions of Rupa Goswami, which were systematically propounded by Jiva Goswami, actually. But then we may, in a very broad way, which if we want to be more scientific doesn't fit, but in a very broad way we can say that everyone is doing bhakti, anyone who has any inclination to Krishna. So like that, we respect people in one sense, but in another sense, it's not our line. Or it's not just our line, but we understand that it's not fully to the point. It's not fully properly in line. So both things are there. Yeah, you have the mic? Did you get over there?
Maharaj, in the 6th the quote, Prabhupada says that in Ramcharitmanas, Tulsidas, there is a tinge of impersonalism. And also when we read Ramcharitmanas, many times we see that Tulsidas...
Well, I mentioned that, I described that in the class, didn't I? I brought that point out, I hope.
Yeah. And also when we read in Tulsidas, Ramayana, many times we see Tulsidas has said Ram as... Nirakar Brahma.
Yeah.
someone without personal form. And many times it's repeated, often repeated. Nirakal Brahma, Nirakal Brahma.
Maharaj, there are some propagators of Ramayana and the chanting of the holy name of Rama in Maharashtra and those areas. They are mostly claiming to be followers of Dattatreya, but they are having impersonal conception, but they widely propagate the chanting of Lord's name. You have any idea about that? If you can share.
Do I have any idea? You want me to comment on that?
Yes, I wanted to know about that much.
Yeah, well, their chanting is not going to lead to pure love of Krishna because they don't know what pure love of Krishna or Ram is, nor do they aspire for that. So that's why we have to have a pure chanting of the holy name. For that, it is necessary to have a proper understanding of the name, Nama Nami. What is the name? Who is the named? What is our relationship? So Mayavadis, their chanting is offensive. This is also discussed that they may show symptoms of bhakti. That's all discussed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's Rati Abhas. The reflection, or it seems like real attachment, but it's not the real thing. Pratibimba Rati Abhyas or Chaya Rati Abhyas, two divisions. Yeah, then? Yeah, alright, pass the mic then. Speak into the mic.
Maharaj, I
want to
ask,
ask it. You don't have to say I want to ask. Just ask it.
Can you pinpoint the defects in Ramcharitmanas?
No, I don't want to. Why?
So I can. We can.
I never read it, so how can I pinpoint all the defects? Okay. Well, you don't have to go over it. Just read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's all. I read this book. I didn't read Ramcharitmanas. I read this book because my godbrother, whose opinion I respect, suggested that I read it. He said it would be useful for someone who's preaching in the North India, in the Hindi-speaking area. Of course, I'm mostly in Gujarat, but the most famous, I think he's the most famous Ramcharitmanas reciter in the modern day is a Gujarati, that Murari Bapu. So it's popular there also. It's not that we have to analyze everything in the world. That's not possible also. But we should understand... Yeah, one thing is, I don't recommend everyone to go and start reading Ramcharitmanas. Now, read Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want, I have a Sankshipt Ramayana here, taken from Valmiki's. That's also nice. I mean, in the Gauriya culture, people know... In Vaishnav culture, even devotees of Krishna, they know all about Ramlila. Just like we find in Srimad Bhagavatam in ninth canto. In the ninth canto, there's a... Shukadev Goswami says, I'll now recite about Ramchandra Bhagavan, but you already know this. You've already heard it many times. Because everyone in Vedic culture, even though Parikshit was a devotee of Krishna, but everyone knows Ramlila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he on the... Ram Vijaya Dashami Day, he would enact Ram Leela. So everyone knows Ram Leela, inside out, upside down. The gopis in Vrindavan, they're also accusing Krishna. See, we know about you. You're not only in this life, but life after life, you're a woman hater. You see this. When you were Rama, you told your brother to cut off the nose of this Shurpanaka. She didn't do anything bad. She approached a kshatriya, nothing wrong. And unnecessarily you disfigured her. You see, so you're a bad character. Life after the gopis, they also knew about Ramlila. Everyone knows Ramlila. But we can take it from Valmiki better.
There's no need to study Ramcharitmanas. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Maharaji. I have read Ramcharitmanas earlier, and now I'm reading Bhagavad Gita also. What I understood, that Ramcharitmanas helps us to come from ignorance mode to passionate mode, and then to bring us on the goodness mode, not to the spirituality. It only helps us to bring up to the goodness level.
Yeah, it would. If people hadn't been reading that, if that culture hadn't been there, and people were instead doing Tantra and Kali worship, their cultural level would have been lower, that's for sure. Or if they'd all become Muslims, which is quite possible, if their culture of Ram Bhakti according to Ramcharitmanas hadn't been there. So the whole Vedic culture, it is valuable. It helps to keep people above the lowest level, or even if they are on a very low level, like Tantra and worshipping Kali and this and that, still, Tantra is not Vedic, but it's pseudo-Vedic, you could say. It helps to keep people... Or just like if we introduce Ram, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, people, they have at least some concept of it. The most difficult place I ever attempted to preach Krishna consciousness in was Thailand. And people might say, well, yeah, Thailand, there's a lot of... material enjoyment. People from India go there to enjoy themselves. You know, as if you can't indulge your senses. I mean, everything for indulging the tongue, belly and genitals is here in India also. But it's a famous one devotee who is into astrology who was there. He told me that this place, Thailand, is ruled by Venus. It's all for sense enjoyment. I don't know if you would say that, but that wasn't really the main problem, because there's plenty of sense enjoyment in America also compared to India. But the real problem was the Buddhism. At least in the West, Prabhupada preached in the Christian countries, and they say people had some idea of God, but in that's hardcore Buddhism in Thailand. There are two main divisions in Buddhism. One is semi-personalistic, and the other is completely impersonal. And that's the kind of Buddhism that they have in Thailand. And people don't even have any concept of God. It's just like if I talk about a cat, you can think what a cat is. You know, there's no cat here to see, but you can form a concept in your mind of a cat. So if I say God, you can't see God, but you can form in your mind some concept of God. But if you're born in a Thai Buddhist family, you say, God, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just not within their... It's really inconceivable for them. So it's very, very difficult to preach there. So the fact that there is some kind of Ram Bhakti is in one sense an advantage. There are disadvantages also, because people have preconceived misconceptions. But yeah, if they'd all been Wahhabi Muslims, it would have been more difficult to preach Krishna consciousness. Yeah, anything else? Yeah. We can also preach Krishna consciousness to Muslims, by the way. You can always, if you see Muslims, you're going shop to shop, door to door, Muslims, offer them the books also. They can also take. Their forefathers were all Hindus, mostly. You can tell them that if you like. They can take also. It's not. They also take books, Prabhupada's books. Maybe not so many take, but then not all the Hindus take either. We're not promoting Hinduism. The Prabhupada's books are for everyone. I'm not a Hindu. I wasn't born in a Hindu family. I didn't convert to a Hindu. So you can give them books also. Yeah.
Is that indication of yogana strength when the tattvagyan is not spoken?
When the knowledge is not given properly, is that an example of yoga nashta? Yeah. Where he gets changed this way, that way, little bit. This way, little bit, that way, gets changed a little. Time, place and circumstance. Prabhupada said this, but after all, that was 30 years ago. Times have changed. The world has changed dramatically in the last 35 years and all of Prabhupada's teachings are now out of date except the ones that we like. So we'll just readjust it all. This is how everything gets spoiled. Change a little there, change a little here, change this way, that way, cook the soup according to your own flavor, and you end up with something that won't take us back to Godhead. Offer Guru Puja, that's all. The Guru, you worship him. Instructions, well, the best Gurus don't give any instructions, do they? They just bless us. They're only for blessing. Bless, 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 bless. People ask me for blessings. I ask them, you eating kami food? You go to the movies? Do you do manga? If they say yes, then no blessings. No blessings. You don't. What should I give blessing? I'm not going to bless your materialistic imitation of Krishna consciousness. You be serious. Then you ask for some blessings. Ask for blessing. Just like it's some very cheap thing. Want blessings? You should do something serious. Not just, oh, I'll take some blessings. And then I don't have to do it. I can go on with my materialistic imitation of Krishna consciousness. Swamiji blessed me. And then, so I don't have to do anything. And Prabhupada's instructions are there. It's heavy. Krishna's instructions are heavy. Mame kam sharana sarvadhaman parityajya. It's a heavy thing. You want to be a devotee? Well, got to surrender to Krishna. But everything gets watered down because it's nicer to hear the nice stories and feel nice than actually surrender to Krishna. That's why these kathas are popular. People like the kathas. We tell nice stories of Krishna. People like this Srimad Bhagavatam katha. But they don't. What else is in Srimad Bhagavatam? How does Shukadev Goswami, what does he begin? He's speaking with Nidraya Hriyate Naktam Vivasena Chaibhavaya Divachateya Rajan Kutumba Bharanenava. This is how Shukadev Goswami begins his speaking. He doesn't start speaking of. He does later. He speaks about Krishna walking in Vrindavan. The gopis are seeing him with peacock feather in his hand. But he starts off by saying that materialistic householders spend their nights sleeping and their day working hard. Simply, no, their night in sleeping and sex indulgence and their day in working hard simply to maintain their families. This is what. There are so many verses like that, which we don't hear much nowadays because people don't like them. We should tell people what they like to hear. That wasn't Prabhupada's promise. That's why he's the Acharya. Because he spoke what people needed to hear, not what they like to hear. And not only he spoke it, he lived it. That's even more difficult. Not for him. But we're all like the Prabhupada gave the example of the maggot and the stool. If you take the worm away from the stool, it will crawl back. Why have I been taken away from my stool? So we're all like that. We all like material life. So nice. Why should I surrender to Krishna? So yeah, it gets watered down, changed. The things we don't like get left out or adjusted. So we make it nice. Everything nice according to our estimation. And then we get repeated birth and death. Yeah.
It's about the philosophical deviations of Ramcharitmanas. The compilation of Ramcharitmanas by Tulsidas, is it in terms of purpose similar to what Sripa Shankaracharya did while compiling Vivartavada? So just to bring people back to Vedas,
I don't know. None of our acharyas said such a thing. That he has such an important role as Shankaracharya. I mean, Shankaracharya's role is much, I mean, definitely in popular culture, the Ramcharitmanas has been very influential, but Shankaracharya's influence is far more over a much longer time scale. One reason, because he wrote in Sanskrit, which is a language which stays, and it's universal. Universal means among the pundits who teach others. Whereas Ramcharitmanas is only available in a dialect of Hindi that most Hindi speakers don't understand properly anyway. So it has its limitations. So yeah, you could say that everyone has their role to play. I mean, even in one sense, you could say that even Vivekananda had some role to play. I mean, he completely messed up. Prabhupada said that Vivekananda and Ramakrishna messed up. They spoiled the Vedic culture very badly. But in America, people, they got some idea that there's sadhus from India and they have something to say. He was the first sadhu from India who attracted the attention of people in America. And then after that, so many others went, and Prabhupada wasn't the first Indian sadhu to go to the, he's the only real sadhu, the first one who went there. So, but at least there was some, in some quarters, some willingness to receive that. It wasn't totally strange and unusual. Prabhupada's going to the West. It was pretty strange and unusual, but it wasn't totally unknown. That there was some, at some level, some acceptance for Indian culture and Vedic culture, even though it was badly misrepresented. Especially in Bengal, they think that everyone in America knows Ramakrishna Vivekananda, and no one ever heard of him. And even the few who have heard of him, they don't know what he taught, which is good for them. Unfortunately, they don't know Prabhupada either. That's very bad, actually. Even in India, people don't know much. They know all these bogus sadhus. They don't know about Prabhupada much. That's not good. We should promote, but it's difficult to promote Srila Prabhupada. I mean, we don't want to promote him in the way. You'll find so many sadhus, you don't know them, and all of a sudden they become prominent because someone with too much black money throws a bunch of black money at some sadhu, and then they promote themselves, and then they become a big sadhu. So you can become a big sadhu by what's called hype. By, like, you can get an advertising agency to promote you and build a big temple. But we can't really promote Prabhupada in that. I mean, we could put posters of Prabhupada all over the place, but it's difficult for people to appreciate Prabhupada, because to really appreciate him, you have to appreciate his teachings. And people don't appreciate his teachings because they're in Maya. And so people can really appreciate Srila Prabhupada if they read his books and take to Krishna consciousness. But otherwise, if we just say, we see he went to the West, and say, well, so many sadhus go to the West nowadays, and they have more followers. People just judge in number of followers. So it is difficult in that sense to promote, because the best way we can promote it is by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. People who read the books will have an appreciation of that. And if it's seen that the quality of his followers is clearly different to that of other people, that following the process that Prabhupada gave changes your life to such a great extent, then that will be great preaching. But we can't... materialistic people don't appreciate Prabhupada because they're materialistic. So, what was that? What was the question? Yoga Nashta Parantapa. Yeah. Tulsidas's strategy, I don't know if there's any such thing. How Krishna works is very subtle. Prabhupada said that the hippie movement was made by Krishna to facilitate my preaching. When we were in the subways, they're called the tube in London, the underground trains, we used to distribute so many Back to Godhead magazines there. And those were, those days, Back to Godhead was really powerful. I mean, we'd distribute and we'd see all the people opening it up to some heavy article against abortion. There was one article we distributed. There was the article was called "Who is a Demon?" And it said, the first paragraph says, "A demon is not someone you imagine with three heads and smoke coming out of their ears. It could be your next door neighbor. Could be you." So that was Back to Godhead when Prabhupada was present. It was just like Prabhupada, like father, like son. So we were distributing it in the tubes in London. It was great. We used to distribute a lot, and we'd distribute and we'd be out at the next station, and then then we get it. So we thought that time we were discussing among ourselves that Krishna maybe made this just to facilitate our book distribution. It's very good for book distribution. So, Hare Krishna. Anything else? If not, we'll finish on that.